finals went well, especially the Bechina, which of course is always very exciting. And I think we have some parents also on the call, I see. So welcome to the parents, some of whom I recognize, you know, so some of whom are family members, actually, indirectly. So we welcome, you know, the Memphis group and everybody else. There's Hyman's Gold. it's a very nice, I guess, project to include the whole family in this year. This is a year which we're giving in advance of Chag HaShavuos. But I guess the parental participation of Sokolovs also is really a very nice thing. The truth is it gives us an opportunity to invite the parents can come any day of the week. You know, we'd be happy to have you at all times. I see Feldman's. You know, that's true for Zoom, and it's also true when we get back to, you know, to the campus in Yirtzeh Hashem Bekarov. We've had parents come in before, grandparents. So, you know, everybody's invited. We, you know, we invite the young children as well. That's, you know, we have shear care, as we call it, like daycare. So all people of all ages are always always invited. That's part of the concept of Mesorah, which really lies at the heart of the enterprise of Talmud Torah, and especially the enterprise of Chag HaShavuos, is this idea of, you know, generation, one generation to the next. So the idea that we share the value of the centrality of Talmud Torah, and that it's, you know, the focal point of our home discussions, that it's not just, you know, when we're in the actual technical confines of the shir, but it spills over into our, you know, conversation, even into our joking sichas chulin sometimes. You know, all of that is a tremendously, you know, telling factor, and it just reflects the sense of Limud HaTorah and Talmud Torah in our lives. So, you know, it was a nice idea. I guess it wasn't my idea. It was, the REITs office's idea. But, you know, we should do it more often and find other ways also to include, you know, the total family in our shiurim. But either way, it's good to see everybody. And this is shiur in advance of Chag HaShavuos. It's also a little bit of a shiur in the aftermath of Yom Yerushalayim. I want to speak about Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Haaretz. We were able to get a Yom HaAtzma'ut shiur, you know, bizmano, be'ito bizmano this year. And I think then we said we'd have a Yom Yerushalayim, but Yom Yerushalayim turned out to be on Erev Shabbos, which is always a tough day. Even, you know, when you're staying home, it seems like there's very little time to get ready for Shabbos. So I thought that we would try to combine, you know, Hachana, preparing for the upcoming holiday of Shavuos, with a little bit of Eretz Yisrael and Yom Yerushalayim, Yom Ha'atzmaut talk as well. You know, just coincidentally or not, the topics work out. But we'll try to explain what we mean, and especially, you know, since there was no preparation for this particular shiur, we'll try to make it as clear as possible. So let's begin with, you know, the beginning here, and that is with the psukim in Parshas Emor. Every chag has a unique character. Typically, you know, we have an easy way of identifying, you know, what the primary theme of a chag is. And if you poll people and you ask them, like, you know, what is a particular holiday about? So, you know, there's very rarely will you find, you know, any confusion. You get usually a straightforward answer. I mean, if you ask somebody in our shir, you know, you might get a little bit of a complicated answer. But, you know, even then, the answers are pretty, you know, straightforward. If I ask you about Rosh Hashanah, you'll tell me about the shofar and about tshuva, about Yom Kippur, about fasting, and more even about tshuva, maybe about the Korban Shtei, you know, the Seirim and the Seir Mishtaleach and the special Avodas Yom Kippurim, if I ask you, you know, to characterize Sukkot, so, you know, you have your choice. You can talk about the Lulav and Dalad Minim, or you can talk about the Sukkah, about their interrelationship. Chag HaMatzos is also very clear. It's Yitzias Mitzrayim and the role of Matzah and Korban Pesach. If I ask anybody about Chag HaShavuos, the upcoming holiday, I see, you know, the Goldberg family here too, so I want to acknowledge that. If I'm missing anybody, I apologize. It's hard to see all the little the boxes. That's why it's better to do this, you know, when everybody actually shows up. And I see the Brooks family also represented. Anyways, if you ask somebody about the upcoming holiday of Shavuot, they'll all tell you that it's about Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai. It seems like that's a no-brainer. That's what we say in our tfilos, Biyom Matan Torah Seinu, Chag Matan Torah Seinu, in benching. You know, the whole focus of our celebration and our commemoration is all about, you know, that single moment, you know, for which the world was actually created, right? In the very first Rashi, practically in Bereshis, Bereshis bara Elokim, Esa Shamayim Esa Aretz, Rashi quotes Chazal, Bereshis, Bishvil HaTorah, Shenikra Reshis. And then when you get to, you know, the first, you know, Kedusha on the Torah, which is Shabbos, so we can transition from Yom HaShishi, and Rashi quotes again the Chazal. Why does it say HaShishi with Hey HaYedia, the sixth day? You know, what's the special yichus about this sixth? And we're told that it refers to Vav Sivan, that the world was created so that we could receive the Torah, implement the Torah. That's what gives our lives direction and purpose. That's why Limud HaTorah is Keneged Kulam. That's why we invest so much and we, you know, benefit so much from it, because it is the raison d'etre. It's the telos. It's the purpose of the world. So we could have this bond with the Rabbanu Shalom. We could receive his Torah and we could actualize it, realize it, right, in the real world. Yom HaShishi. Chazal say that if not for that day, the world would have been returned to Tohu Vavohu, which is a fascinating, you know, way of saying it. Not just that, you know, this is the purpose of creation and it wouldn't have been created otherwise, but it would go back to chaos, implying that, and this is something we can all appreciate in terms of the experience that we've just, you know, and are still involved in, and that is that life can be chaotic. There can be all sorts of challenges. And, you know, sometimes it raises questions about purpose and, you know, and so on and so forth. And that's why, you know, life is filled with, you know, tohu vavohu. The Rabbanu Shalom gave meaning and purpose and stability to the world. Our tradition is so that we would live a certain quality of life, so that the spiritual element would be central. And the Torah is the constitution, if you will. It's the, you know, the recipe, you know, for a life of meaning. And that's why even in undergoing crises, in dispelling tohu vavohu, right, the Torah is critical. So if you ask somebody, what is Shavuos, the holiday, all about? It's the anniversary somewhat of Maimon Har Sinai and Matan Torah. There are some problems connected with that, which we're not going to discuss right now. But was it really Vav Sivan or Zion Sivan? Sometimes it might have been Hey Sivan. That's an important question. But all things being equal, this is the anniversary. And what we're celebrating is literally the most important, the day for which the world was created. And the day, you know, which, because of Klal Yisrael's response of Nasa V'Nishma, allowed the world to continue and continues to be, as I say, the basis for neutralizing tohu vavohu. That's the answer. It's even a clearer answer than some of the other answers, frankly. Except the problem with it is that if you look in Parshas Emor and in Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah in both places defines the various holidays, none of that appears. And this is, you know, obviously, is not a secret. This is not my discovery. You know, this has been known, Meirosh. If you look at Parshas Emor, you can find out about Zichron Trua and Chagas Sukkos and, you know, Smachtim Fnei Hashem Elokechem Shivas Yamim, you know, with Netilas Lulav and Esrog and Chagamatzos and even the Chag of bringing the Korban Pesach and Vinisim Misnaf Shosechem. But when it comes to Chagas Shavuos, there's nothing there about Maimed Har Sinai and Matan Torah. And the same is true in Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah delineates all of the korbanos musaf that are brought every single chag gets a korban musaf, and the Torah briefly designates or delineates why it is that these are holidays and that we bring, you know, these, you know, special korbanos. And the Torah tells us because it's Chag HaMatzos, because it's a Yom Trua Yelachem, because it's a Chag or Chag HaSukkos. Every single holiday has a designation. What is the holiday of Chag HaSukkos? So actually, the Torah does weigh in, but what it says is a little bit surprising, unless we already know it. And that is in Bamidbar, Tzu B'chamishas Yom L'chodesh Hazeh, Chag Shivas Yom Matzos Yeachel. That's Chag HaMatzos. Etc. And then when you get to the psukim that relate to Chag HaShavuos, then we're told that it's a yom of Yom HaBikurim. I'm just going to get the exact pasuk if I have it here. Ubayom HaShviyon Sekin. One second, I don't have it in front of me. The Torah calls it "B'yom Bikurim ba'akrivchem mincha chadasha la'Hashem b'shavuah seichem mikor kodesh yelachem kol melachas avoda lo sa'asu." So the only thing we're told about this holiday is that it's Yom Bikurim. Similarly, in Parshas Emor, it's even more striking. The entire Parsha and Emor is supposed to be dedicated to the Moadim. It begins "Ela Moadai Hashem asher tikra osam mikroi kodesh elahim Moadai." Then it starts with Shabbos, which is a challenge in its own right. Then it transitions to Nisan and to Korban Pesach and Chag HaMatzos. And then after that, we have about 13, 14 psukim out of a parsha, which altogether is about 42. So you could do the math, but it's a big chunk of psukim that speak only about the Korban HaOmer that is brought on the second day of Pesach, the Sfiras HaOmer, which begins that night and which counts down until Chag HaShavuos. And then finally, the Korban Shtei Halachem, the special Korban that is brought on Chag HaShavuos. Again, Matan Torah, Maimed Har Sinai, it makes no appearance in Torah Shebichtav whatsoever. Instead, what we're told is, Usfartem Lachem Mimacharas HaShabbos Miyomi Aviachem Etz Omer HaTnufa Sheva Shabbosos Timimos Tiena. Ad mimachras haShabbos haShvi tishperu chamishim yom v'kravtem mincha chadasha laHashem. The characterization of Chag HaShavuos is that it's the day in which you bring a mincha chadasha, whatever that means, the mincha, the new mincha, to Hashem. Mimo shvoseichem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim shnei esronim soles tiyana chametz teafena bikurim laHashem. You bring this korban. That's what we're going to speak about in a minute, from Eretz Yisrael. Bring the lechem. You do two acts of tnufa, waving, where you integrate the two loaves of bread, which are the main korban, shtei lechem, with the korban of kivsei atzeres, also a rule-breaking korban, a korban which is a shlamim, a peace offering. You never have a shlamim betzibur outside of Chag HaShavuos, and you never have a shlamim, which is kodshe kadashim. Only on Chag HaShavuos do you have these two rule-breaking phenomena. You have a special korban, in addition to the olas and the chatas that you bring with the lechem and with the musaf separately, you bring kivsei atzeres, and you wave, you pick up and you wave these the lechem and the kvasim together twice, once when the animal's alive, once after it's shechita, the chazei v'shok, Shnei Asronim Solis Tiena, Chametz Teofena, Bikurim LaHashem, Bikraftam Alechem, Sheva Sivas Kvasin Tmei, Bnei Shanah, all sorts of other Korbanos, Parben Bakar Elim Shnaim Yuala, Yiyu, Ola LaHashem, Umilkasam is Kemisha Reach Michalach LaHashem, Vasisam Sirizim Achadachatas, Shnei Kvasim Bnei Shanah Lezavak Shlamim, Behenef Akoin Osam Alechem Abikurim, the Lechem here is called Bikurim Parshas Pinchas. It's called Biyom HaBikurim. It doesn't mean the day of bringing the Bikurim that we know of in Zeroyim. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's called Lechem Bikurim, the Korban Shnei Lechem. Tenufa Lefnei Hashem, Al Shnei Kevasim, Kodesh Yu Hashem LaKohen. And finally, the only reference in Parshas Emor to this even being a Yom Tov, Ukrosem Be'etzem Ayom Hazeh, Mikra Kodesh Yalechem. The phrase Mikra Kodesh is the term the Torah uses ubiquitously throughout the entire Parshas HaMoadim and Emor. Whenever they want to say Yom Tov, they say the words Mikra Kodesh. Kol Malacha Savod Olos Asu, Yisra Malacha, Chukas Olam, Bechol Moshvo Seichem, Lidoro Seichem. And then in the end, which I'm not going to get to, a pasuk which is seemingly completely out of place, Ubekutrechem is Katsir Artzachem, Lo Sechale Pa'as Sadcha Bekutrecha, Leket Katsircha Lo Selakeit, Le'ani Ve'lager Tazov Osam, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, referring to the obligation when you have fields in Eretz Yisrael to leave Peah and Leket and Shecha, etc. Okay, so what is going on here? Basically, what I'm suggesting is that in the presentation of Torah Shebichsav, we have about, it goes from Pasuk Tes till Pasuk Chaf Beis or so. So that's 13 psukim. 13 psukim, roughly between a third and a quarter of Parshas Emor, which deals with the Korban HaOmer and the Korban Shtei HaLechem and Sfiras HaOmer. We don't have any mention of Matan Torah. The holiday of Shavuos is designated as a day of Mincha Chadasha, and in Pinchas as a day of Bikurim. So why this emphasis? So the de-emphasis of Matan Torah is a discussion that we find in some of the Achronim, the Arachayim, and later Achronim. Some of them suggest that the Torah was very reluctant to focus on Maimed, you know, that this day is more connected, let's say, with Torah study and Talmud Torah Keneged Kum, the value of Torah, than other days. And while the experience of Maimed Har Sinai, you know, certainly is a factor in its own right and worth celebrating, and that's probably why in our tefillos and Berachas HaMazon, we do say "Biyom Matan Torasenu." The Ramban, in his Perush on the Torah and in Sefer Mitzvot, counts as a separate mitzvah the obligation to remember the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. It's one of the zachars, just like there's a zechira of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a zechira of Maimed Har Sinai. Obviously, the experience alone is critical. That experience highlighted Gilui Shechina, you know, the Rebbeinu Shlom actually revealed himself to the world. That's why it's the critical day of the world, Yom HaShishi. Some people explain that's what we mean when we say Dayenu, right? Ilu Kervanu Lefnei Har Sinai Velo Nasan Lanu Es HaTorah. Dayenu, this really refers to the experience of Maimed Har Sinai. Some of the Mefarshim in Masechet Avos, you know, Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid, Ala Torah, Ala Voda, Al Gemilos Chasadim. So there's a discussion with Bar Tanura and Tosis Yom Tov. Some of them suggest that it doesn't mean Torah, Torah. It means Maimed Har Sinai, the experience of Matan Torah. But having said that, there was this apparently concern in Torah Shebichsav that if there were to be emphasis on a Maimed Har Sinai, you know, in the Torah itself, that people would think that, you know, this is the day of Limud HaTorah, and that, you know, it's not necessary or as necessary, you know, every other day, just like, you know, Tkiyah Shofar and Sukkah. And I don't think people would have said that it was Bal Tosif, but certainly they would have thought, you know, this is the day of learning, you know, and that would have been, you know, highly, you know, problematic. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos, in the first perek, that the practice used to be that every day in Tefillah there would be a reference or there would be a reading of the Aseres HaDibros. And the Gemara says that they abolished it Mishum Taromes Haminim, because they were worried that people would get the wrong impression. It would produce kind of a quasi, you know, heresy. That if you said every day, you know, the psukim of Aseres HaDibros, people would say, you know, that's the important part of the Torah. That has more sanctity, let's say, than the rest of the Torah. And therefore, they cut it out because they wanted you to understand that all parts of Torah are equally sanctified and intrinsically significant. And therefore, it's better not to emphasize the Aseres HaDibros so as to give, not to give a wrong impression. So that's how some of the Mefarshim explain also, that even though we're celebrating, you know, the giving of the Torah, and even though we're celebrating a separate factor, the experience of Gilui Shechina and Maimon Har Sinai in the Yiras Shamayim that generated, as well as the foundation for the immutability of the Torah, etc. Nonetheless, it's too, the Torah Shemitzav wanted to downplay it, lest people think that this isn't a 365, you know, day a year obligation. True, there are added dimensions on the holiday of Shavuot, but lest people, you know, draw the wrong conclusions, it was better to kind of suppress or at least downplay, you know, the Talmud Torah aspects of this. The Vilna Gaon, commenting on the Mishnah in Masechet Peah, Mishnah in Peah says, Eilu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur. These are the things that have no measure. And then it has a whole bunch of examples, things that have no amount. Peah, Bikurim, Re'ayon, Gemilus Chasadim, and then it says, V'talmud Torah. So some things on the list about which we say, Ein lahem shiur, are whatever you do, it's not enough. You can never do enough. There's always more to do. Other things on the list are things that any amount that you do, any little bit investment in it, that's sufficient. That's good enough. So it's a strange list. It's a list where the phrase, Eilu Devarim She'ein Lahem Shiur, these are the things that have no measure, has two opposite meanings. Sometimes you can never do enough. The obligation is so maximalist, you know, that, you know, it requires more. And sometimes it means whatever you do is enough. A minimalist shiur. So what troubled the Mefarshim particularly was where's Talmud Torah on this spectrum? Because the last on the list of the Mishnah is Talmud Torah, Torah study. So if you look at the Mefarshim on the Mishnah in Peah, some of them say, Eilam Shir, no matter what you do, it's not enough. Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. If you could learn more, there's a chiv to learn, you know, constantly. Of course, not to neglect other Torah obligations in terms of other mitzvos, you know, family requirements, you know, parnasa. But free time, if you have free time, you're supposed to learn Torah. That was a view of Rabbeinu Tam and many of the other Rishonim. It's a topic in its own right. Others said, no, what the Mishnah means is Ein Lahem Shiur. Whatever you do is enough. Because the Gemara says in a few places, in Nedarim, and Daf Ches, and Menachos, Daf Tzadites, the Gemara says, Iboy Paternatshe B'Kriyashma Shachas V'Arvis. You can actually fulfill your obligation, you know, with the minimum. So you have two opposite interpretations. Not only do you have two different groups of items on the list, you also have, with regard to Talmud Torah itself, two opposite interpretations. So the Gaon of Vilna, Kedarko, suggests that the ambiguity in the Mishnah is actually intentional. And now what the Mishnah meant to say was that the Talmud Torah, Keneged Kula, both things are true. You have to integrate Torah study with other aspects of your life that the Torah deems to be important, meaning your involvement with your family, your involvement with society, other mitzvos, etc. And at the same time, you maximize the commitment to Limud HaTorah. But what the Gra says is, by emphasizing the idea that you could be poter atzmo b'kriyas shema shachris v'arvis, instead of lightening the obligation, the purpose of the was to accentuate it. And what it was trying to say is, even the minimum amount of the Torah that you do every single day is so defining and so central to your persona and to your purpose in life, that even though it's a sheer lamata, even if you're only able to do a little, it ends up being a sheer lamala. It ends up highlighting the ambition and focusing on the role of Torah study. So on one level, Torah should have de-emphasis on Matan Torah, as I say, which comes really to kind of promote or to at least to preclude the misconception that, you know, Limud HaTorah is more important on the day of Shavuos than any other day. Not because there aren't extra dimensions on Shavuos, which we do accentuate, including the experiential part and the recommitment, the reenactment, you know, and so forth, but really comes particularly to encourage and to promote a maximal view of Talmud Torah, both in its the role that it plays Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, as well as in the impact that it has on creating a balanced life for each and every Jew, a family life, a community life, a life of other mitzvot, etc. But then the question is, but what about Torah Shebichtav? Why the emphasis on these korbanos, the korban omer, sfiras omer, and shtei alechem? After all, the contrast to shofar and to sukkah and to Yom Kippur, you know, and matzah, etc., is obvious. Why all of a sudden are we speaking about these korbanos? And I think that the answer is also very clear, but it then requires of us a little bit of investment, a little bit of work. The answer is that typically, and this is a point that the Ramban particularly makes in his Perush on Parshas Emor, typically korbanos are not developed in detail in Parshas Emor, in the main Parshas Amoadim. They're left for Parshas Pinchas. The question is, why are these korbanos, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, why are they an exception? Why are they in Parshas Emor? I'm not going to read the language of the Ramban right now because I don't have so much time, and I want to get through another part of this. But the answer seems to be that they're not the Musafim. The Omer and Shtei Alechem are not the Musaf. In Parshas Pinchas, we read of the Musaf of Chag HaShavuos. But the Omer and Shtei Alechem, each are unusual korbanos that highlight the Kedushas Hayom that we're speaking of. In other words, these unusual rule-breaking korbanos, if we were to understand them with greater clarity, they would highlight what it is that we're supposed to be doing to prepare for and in our commemoration and our celebration of these holidays. Well, let me make it very, you know, very clear, hopefully. If you look at the Parsha in Emor, the Psukim, the second day of Pesach, the bringing of the Korban HaOmer, the counting of the Omer, until you get to the Korban Shtei Alechem, they're all presented mostly in one section. The Ramban says that whenever the Torah in Parshas Emor says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, keep saying it, it breaks up the Chagim by saying Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. So it says that actually after presenting the laws of Korban Pesach and Chag HaMatzos, then the Torah says Vaidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, and then it speaks about Kisavo El Aretz, the Korban of the Omer, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shtei Alechem, all the way the next Vaidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor is the next holiday, Rosh Hashanah, which means, and there's a debate about this in the Rishonim, I'll mention it quickly, that Rambam deals with the laws of Korban HaOmer and Sfiras HaOmer. Rambam deals with these laws in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tmidin HaMusafim, where he deals with the holiday of Pesach, of Chag HaMatzos. Under that rubric in Perek Zayin, the Rambam deals with Omer and Sfiras HaOmer. Perek Ches Hilchos Tmidim is where the Rambam transitions to a discussion of the holiday of Shavuos. But in Torah Shebichsav, that's not the way the Torah presents it. The Torah really presents the Korban Omer, Sfiras HaOmer, and Shtei Alechem all as part of Chag HaShavuos. That's extraordinary. The Sefer Achino says explicitly that the Sfiras HaOmer is a countdown to Shavuos. The Ramban, in his commentary in the Torah, says that Sfiras HaOmer is a kind of Chol HaMoed that links Pesach to Shavuos. Shavuos is called Atzeret, just like there's Shemini Atzeres, which is after the Chol HaMoed of Sukkos. You have Yontif of Sukkos, then you have Chol HaMoed, and then you have Shemini Atzeres. So too, says the Ramban, you have Pesach, then you have a kind of a extended Chol HaMoed through Sfiras HaOmer, and then that is the bridge to Chag HaShavuos. For our purposes, we're going to go with the Torah Shebichsav. This, I don't think it's a stira, but the point is that Korban HaOmer, Sfiras HaOmer, and Korban Shtei Alechem really constitute a process, according to the way they are presented in Parshas Emor, a process that bridges the holiday of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which focuses on physical chayrus, really casting off the shackles of the avdus, halu avde Hashem v'lo avde paro, and the transition from that, building to hayom hazeh niyeh la'am, right, where the individuals, you know, straggling group of Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, bibihilu, becomes a nation by virtue of the constitution and the experience of Gilui Shechina that is given in Maimon Har Sinai. So if we understand the Parsha and Emor properly, and we analyze the Korban HaOmer, Sfiras HaOmer, and the Korban Shtei Alechem, we can better chart this transition, this process, which we are obligated to reenact ourselves every year during the Sfiras HaOmer, when we count the bigger units of weeks and the smaller units of days, and we march from to both at the same time as a bridge from one to the other. What is the singular nature of Korban HaOmer and Korban Shtei Alechem? So I'd like to mention very briefly what I think highlighted by zeroing in on the Eretz Yisrael factor to highlight the parallel and the change. Korban HaOmer and Korban Shtei Alechem are both unique korbanot, and they share a lot in common. They're both korban minchas, shel tzibur, which you don't have typically, except in maybe of lechem aponim. Those are the three, I guess, korbanos minchas shel tzibur. And they're all different from each other, frankly. Of course, Omer and Shtei Alechem seem to have the most in common. And of course, they're the ones that are mentioned here in this bridge in Parsha Samor. Both of them are menachos that are not only korbanos tzibur, which is unusual, but where the kvasim, where the actual zvachim, the meat offerings, the animal offerings, are secondary, they're tafel. The keves ha-omer, one, interestingly, and you have two esronim of the omer. Interestingly enough, very subtly, this part I'm not going to have a chance to analyze, you have two kvasim and two loaves of bread, each of which is an isaron, meaning the number of solas is the same, but broken up, and you have the double in the case of Korban Shtei Alechem. Clearly, the Torah wanted us to look at Omer and Shtei Alechem through one lens, to notice the similarities, to see it, therefore, as a process, and then to magnify even more the differences, the subtle differences between them, whether it's in the numbers or the relationship of the, you know, the korban part and the mincha part, or some of the other issues that I will mention in just a couple of minutes. Of course, the most striking difference is that the Korban HaOmer remains a typical mincha in some respects, namely, like all menachos, like all korbanos, with two exceptions, it needs to be matzah and not chametz. The other exception is korban toda, where a part of it is also chametz, but only a part of it, a minority part of it, korban toda. But typically, korbanos do not allow chametz on the mizbeach. On the other hand, the korban shtei lechem is the only korban which is completely chametz. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvos Aseh Memvav, mentions the chametz part of shtei lechem up front when he defines what it is that this korban is. Korban shtei lechem mei chametz, as if to say, don't miss that point. It's not a detail. It's critical. Meaning, you go from the holiday of Chag HaMatzos, right, where essentially you're not allowed to eat chametz as an exception, even in Bimedina, and you go to the holiday, you transition to the holiday of Shavuos, where you're actually bringing, and that's an exception, a korban mechametz. Those are subject to kmitzah. You throw a piece of a mincha, and then, but when it comes to shtei lechem, there's no kmitzah. It's kula lechem. It's eaten by the kohanim. But a third point, which I hope to get back to, is that the eating of the korban haomer is based on the general principle of shiarei menachos. The Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tmidin Musafim, when he wants to highlight the idea of the korban haomer, keeps repeating that it is kishyari kol menachos. Perek Zayin Halach Yud Beis. The Rambam says, Lokhin as isaron shal solas saorin, bolin oso beluk shemen b'shisha oso benisan, oso no komitz levona, kishar ha-menachos. Then he says, b'mizrach, u'magisho, I'm skipping a little bit, kishar ha-menachos. Then he says, v'komitz u'maktir, v'ashar nechal ha-kohanu, kishyare kol ha-menachos. Three times in one halacha, the Rambam, when he talks about the Omer, repeats the phrase, Kishar or Kishiare HaMenachos. A Kohen can eat the Mincha after Kmitza because of the din of Shiare Menachos, which the Rambam himself codifies, also Mitzvah Saseh Peches. However, when it comes to the Korban Shtei Halechem, Perches of Hilchos Tmidin Umusafim, there the Rambam speaks about this as an unusual Korban. He integrates it with the korban musaf of the day, which is a factor in its own right. I'm going to get involved in that right now. But he does that. He doesn't do that in the Omer. And never does he use the expression, even when there's an overlap, of shiari menachos. When he speaks about eating the korban shtei alechem, in Sefer Mitzvos Mitzvah Memvav, he mentions it as a chiyuv to eat this korban. Nothing to do with shiari menachos. If you look at the Rambam's formulation of shiari menachos and the obligation to eat them in mitzvah peches, he says it's a mitzvah on the kohanim. He speaks about the kohanim having the obligation to eat menachos. When he speaks about korban shtei lechem, he makes it seem as if the obligation to eat it is a din in the korban shtei lechem itself. The shtei lechem requires achila. That's a very important difference between the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, one which is Eino Omer Ella Darsheni. In other words, the Torah and Chazal, as they develop these dinim, some of which are Mesorah, some of which are based on their analysis and conclusions, understood that there's tremendous overlap between these korbanos and also equally subtle differences. There are parallels and there are strong contrasts. And I'm going to suggest, I am suggesting, that this is part of the process, which we'll get back to. I believe that this is true also when it comes to the role of Eretz Yisrael in these korbanos. And I want to spend, you know, a couple of minutes now also to be yotzei my Yom Yerushalayim obligation on that question. One of the unique features of the Korban Omer and the Korban Shtei Alechem is that both of them require that they have their origin in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says in Masechet Kelim that this is a requirement that is singular to these korbanos and to bikurim. Eser kedushos hein, are 10 kedushos. Eretz Yisrael mekudeshes mikol ha'aratzos. Mai kedushasa shemevi mimeno ha'omer ha'bikurim u'shtei lechem. Bikurim is a topic in its own right. We'll leave that for the moment. But the omer and shtei lechem are an example of, they are the examples, together with bikurim, of the special kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So it goes both ways. The Mishnah says in Menachos, on Daf Pei Gimel, Omud Beis, and then the Gemara elaborates on Daf Pei Dalid, Omud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol Karbanos Atzibur V'Hayachid Bain Min Haaretz U'Michutz La'aretz. All Karbanos, Tzibur and Yachid, right, all come from Eretz Yisrael and from Chutz La'aretz, equally, in other words, Min HaChadosh U'Min HaYashan. Chutz Min HaOmer U'Shtei Alechem She'enan Baim Ela Min HaChadosh U'Min HaAretz. So in a way, it's fascinating. You have two Mishnayos that can declare that the Omer and Shtei Alechem are only from Eretz Yisrael. But what's interesting about these two Mishnayos is that they come from opposite perspectives and unquestionably represent two different dimensions that are connected. Meaning, the Mishnah in Masechet Kelim is speaking about Kedushas Hamakom, right? The Kodesh HaKadashim, you know, the Chael, the Azara, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael. And there, when it talks about Eretz Yisrael, says that an expression, a manifestation of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is Omer and Shtei Alechem. Omer and Shtei Alechem are highlights of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Very important. The Mishnah, of course, in Menachos is speaking about it from the other perspective. Typically, any korban can be brought from Chutz La'aretz or from Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of Omer and Shtei Alechem. In other words, from a korban point of view, you require Eretz Yisrael. And the question, of course, is why? Why are Omer and Shtei Alechem? Now, if Omer and Shtei Alechem really represent stages in the national development of Klal Yisrael, namely from Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vehevesi, right, till Matan Torah, Maimed Har Sinai, then of course the requirement of Eretz Yisrael, which always typifies the national dimension in Jewish life, makes a great deal of sense. And it goes in both directions. Kedushas Haaretz expresses itself in Omer and Shtei Alechem. Omer and Shtei Alechem as korbanos require Eretz Yisrael. However, if we look carefully at the Omer and Shtei Alechem, even though they're bonded together by virtue of this requirement in both of these Mishnayos, there appears to be an opening that implies that the role that Eretz Yisrael plays in these two korbanos is subtly different. Number one, in terms of the psukim themselves, the source for Eretz Yisrael in Korban HaOmer, here in Parshas Emor, is the pasuk, the haya, right in the beginning, Kisavou El Haaretz. Kisavou El Haaretz also appears in other contexts. It has a more kedushas karka, frankly, orientation. It also may imply that this requirement only begins Kisavou El Haaretz. On the other hand, when it comes to the Korban Shtei Alechem, the Torah signifies the requirement of Eretz Yisrael in a different way. It says, just one second, let me find the pasuk. Mi Moshvoseichem, this is Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud Zayin, Taviu lechem tenufa, right, etc. And the drasha is Mimoshvosechem, refers to Eretz Yisrael. Two things are interesting. Number one, in the Omer, it sounds like the Torah with Kisavo, and there's a bit of a drum roll. V'haya Kisavo or Kisavo el Haaretz, this is what you do. Maybe before your Kisavo el Haaretz, it doesn't have to be from Eretz Yisrael, hard to know. Either way, this relates to the obligation of those who bring the Omer, frankly, and it's Kisavo. It's a drum roll. There's a clear statement in the Torah saying that this is a requirement. When it comes to the Karban Shtei HaLechem, on the other hand, it's part of simply the matter-of-fact presentation, I would say core definition of what this Karban is. It's like a matter-of-fact. Mimosh Vosechem Taviyu, not Kisavo Ola Aretz. It's not a condition. I would say, by being matter-of-fact, it's actually more powerful part of the definition itself. Mimosh Vosechem Taviyu, Lechem Tenufa. So it occurs to me, I could be wrong, that this is reflected in a view in the Gemara that we don't paskin like, but as we know, Havaminas can be important too. So the Gemara on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, when it looks to the Makoros of Omer and Shtei Lechem and the requirement of Eretz Yisrael, basically says, Aval Ba'aretz, they discuss with Chadash or Yashan. The Gemara says, Aval Ba'aretz lo pligi de Omer Shtei Lechem me'aretz in, mechutz la'aretz lo. Everybody agrees that both the Omer and Shtei Lechem have to come from Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Kiman, de lo kaitana, the Tanya Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Omer ba mechutz la'aretz. The Gemara says that there's a protesting, there's a minority view that says that Omer can be from Chutz La'aretz, not only from Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's always a question, as we know, we don't paskin like that Manda Amar, but does the fact that there is such a Manda Amar reflect that the role of Eretz Yisrael is somewhat different when it comes to Omer and Shtei Lechem? Could you even conceive a Shtei Lechem which wasn't from Eretz Yisrael? It's simply Mimosh Vosechem Taviyu, especially in light of the way that I presented the Pesukim before. If you look at the Rambam and the Ramban, it reinforces the impression that the view of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, while rejected, lahalacha, highlights a different, slightly different role for Eretz Yisrael in Omer and in Shtei Lechem. The Rambam, for example, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tmidim, when he talks about the Korban HaOmer, when he talks about Eretz Yisrael, says the following. Ein mevien minchazu elam Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's focused on the Gavra. Whoever is bringing, or the Bezdin, or whatever it is bringing the Korban, don't bring it from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar vavesa mesoma reishis katsir chem alakoim, mitzvasa lavo min akarov. Actually, velo ba min akarov, mevien osa mikol mokom Eretz Yisrael. Fine. Ein mevien minchazu elam Eretz Yisrael. Shenema. Language is somewhat different. Shtei halechem, this is Einan ba'in ela min ha'aretz. Chefts of shtei halechem, the korban shtei halechem itself cannot be brought, it needs Eretz Yisrael. U'min ha'chadosh, shenemer mimosh vasechem tavi lechem tenufa. In other words, it's the din of the chefts and not a din of the gavra. In the Havva'a. And secondly, it's not Einam Ba'im, right? Ein Mevi'in, but Einam, sorry, but Einam Ba'im. Ramban, likewise, in his Perish Al HaTorah, in Parshas Emor, mentions that if based on the Pesukim alone, one could get the impression that you distinguish between Korban HaOmer and Korban Shtei HaLechem. He says, "The ein mimosh is perek chav gimel. The ein mimosh vasechem taviu lechem tenufa kemo bechol mosh vasechem. Avotamo me'eretz mosh vasechem lahutzi chutzaret." And then he adds, "Kachsha ninu kol hakarbanos atzibur vayachid bay min haaretz vechutzaret chutz min haomer u'shtei alechem V'afilu l'divrei ha'omer, omer ba michutz la'aretz, moda b'shtei alechem she'enan bain elemina aretz. So I wouldn't say this is total confirmation of our derech halimud, but the Ramban, in his Perashat Torah, is quoting a man de Omar who we certainly don't paskin like, in the context of Parshanut. Ramban's not the Ibn Ezra and he's not the Rashbam. He's not suggesting that this is better Parshanut. It sounds like what the Ramban is telling us is it's important to know, even as we know that the halacha is that Omer and Shtei Lechem both come from Eretz Yisrael, it's important to know that there is a man de Omar who's mechalek. And I think because that highlights the fact that even if we're not going to distinguish the role of Omer and the role of Shtei Lechem for Eretz Yisrael differ. Let me highlight it a little bit further. Tosa says in Masechet Menachos on Mem Hei Omid Beis, Tosa suggests that the Korban HaOmer was brought in the Midbar. But the Korban Shtei Lechem, which is also called Bikurim, was never brought in the Midbar. That's Tosas on Mem Hei Omid Beis in Menachos. Tosas says that. The Rash in Chala, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, disagrees. He says, even the Korban Beis on the Yerushalmi, even the Korban Omer was never brought in the Midbar. The question is why, according to Tosas, is there a difference between Omer and Shtei Lechem? He says because of Bikurim. Could be. Alone. But what is the basis for this? One is Bikurim. He says, oh, also because it says, Mi Mosh Vosechem. It does. But it also says, Kisavo, right? El Haaretz. What is going on? The Karen Ora is troubled by the existence of Korban Omer in the Midbar. Anyway, he says, it's Chadash is the only reason you bring the Omer. There was no Chadash in the Midbar. Okay, we'll leave that aside for the moment. But I think, once again, the Midbar is, of course, not Eretz Yisrael, but the Midbar wasn't exactly Chutz La'aretz either. There was no Eretz Yisrael yet. So, if there's a requirement of Eretz Yisrael as part of the definition of this Korban, we'll explain in a moment, you need the Eretz Yisrael factor, then the fact that the Midbar is not exactly Chutz La'aretz, certainly it's not Chutz La'aretz once there is an Eretz Yisrael, it's not a diaspora, is irrelevant. Because in the end of the day, if you positively require Eretz Yisrael, Mimosh Vosechem, then you still don't have it. But if the problem is you can't bring from Chutz La'aretz, then the Midbar is kind of an in-between. It sounds like that's exactly what the Baalei Tosas have in mind. Similarly, there's a very fascinating discussion in the Gemara in Menachos and Daf Samech Tes. A little bit of a strange Gemara, but challenging Gemara. The Gemara says, Boi Rab Zeira, Chitin Sheyordu Ba'avim, if wheat, you know, came raining down, I'm not sure exactly how this happens, from the skies, from the clouds. The question is, can you use it for the Korban Shtei Alechem? The Gemara says, Lamai. Ila Menachos Amai Lo, El Shtei Alechem Mai. Mi Mosh Vosechem Om Rachman Alafuke Chutz La'aretz De Lo Avol De Avim Shaper Dami. The heavens, the clouds are not Chutz La'aretz. Ol Dilma Mi Mosh Vosechem Tafka Vafilu De Avim Nami Lo. And the Gemara leaves it b'teku. Rashi suggests that what this means, this is very scientifically, you know, obviously enigmatic. Somehow the clouds, you know, swallowed up this boat, you know, carrying chitim, and, you know, kind of expels it, you know, down into Eretz Yisrael. That's how Rashi interprets. What's fascinating is that the Baalei Tosas reject Rashi, but not because they say it's physically impossible or scientifically problematic, but they just don't like the analysis. And this is what they say. They quote the Rashi, V'kasha l'Rabbeinu Tam. D'imei chutz l'aretz, v'chi hutru l'shtei alechem b'shvil shahya avim. If they originally, the schitim was grown in chutz l'aretz, so somehow being in the clouds, you know, matired it. On the other hand, imei Eretz Yisrael, if they grew in Eretz Yisrael, so what? They went up into the oven. It was a miraculous manifestation. Okay. Now, both of these are fascinating. We don't have time to analyze them, but I do want to say the following. The Minchas Chinuch raises the following question. He says, how come this Gemara appears with regard to Korban Shtei Alechem and not with regard to Korban HaOmer? So the Minchas Chinuch says, in my opinion, there, whenever you say Omer and Shtei Alechem, they both require, right, they both have this requirement. So in the end of the day, whatever you're going to say about one, you're going to say about the other. This, and I want to mention this as we wrap up in a couple more minutes, the Minchas Chinuch has a whole theory, and this is really what I'm kind of taking aim at. The Minchas Chinuch said, the Gemara says in Menachos that Shtei Alechem is to the Mikdash what Korban HaOmer is to Gvulin. Meaning, there's an Isra Chadash, the new produce requires a heter. And Korban HaOmer is Matir Chadash. That's true in everyday life. That's the concept of Chadash and Yashan. Right? In the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, that required the Korban HaOmer. And for Menachos in the Beis HaMikdash, in order to bring Chitim for a Mincha, right, the Shtei Alechem was the required Korban, because it's Mincha Chadasha. So if you look at the Minchas Chinuch in his discussion of Korban HaOmer and in his discussion of Korban Shtei Alechem, throughout you have this theme, and that is what's true for the Medina, for outside life, Chadash and the Matir of Omer, is true in the Mikdash for Menachos, for Korbanos, for Soles, for Chitim regarding Menachos. So the Minchas Chinuch says, since that's true, and you need Eretz Yisrael for both, whatever the criteria of Eretz Yisrael is for one, it is for the other. And therefore, if there's a discussion in the Gemara about these cloud-sourced, you know, chitim, whatever that means, whether it's Rashi or Tosis, huadin, the same thing is true for the Korban HaOmer. However, number one, the Rambam deals with the dinim of Omer before the dinim of Shtei Alechem in Perek Zayin before Perek Ches. He says nothing about the Avim issue for the Omer. The Gemara said nothing about the Avim issue for the Omer. Moreover, as we've just explained, the Mokar is a little bit different, sounds a little different. Mimosh Vosechem, Kisavo. The Rambam formulates it a little bit differently. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda argues on one and not on the other. The Ramban thinks quoting Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda makes sense. If that's the case, so we might suggest that there really is a difference between the role of Eretz Yisrael in Omer and the role in Shtei Alechem. But in Omer, it's more kind of a mitzvah satlios ba'aretz idea. Not fully, because it isn't. It's a kedushas makom idea. But it's really, if you want to be matir chadash, you have to do it with tvuas Eretz Yisrael. But, you know, what does that mean? Only when there is chutz la'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, or only, or even without that? That is the debate. But the focus on Korban HaOmer is the role that it plays as a matir. That's primarily what Omer is all about. And interesting to note, it's on the second day of Pesach. It's not certainly part of the Kedushas Hayom of Pesach. It's Seorim. It's a Korban Seorim, not a Korban Chitim. But it's possible, and there's a lot of evidence for this, the Torah, when it presents Omer, first presents, never in the beginning presents it as a korban. Only after it mentions the Iser to eat chadash, does it say, until your makriv, the korban, ha-omer. Meaning, omer, first and foremost, is a heter, a matir, for chadash. But the korban shtei alechem is never described in the Torah as a matir. The only reason that we know that it has to precede the new menachos and the Beis HaMikdash is because the Torah calls it mincha chadasha, and it calls it bikurim. For it to be the first, the new, the bikurim, there can't be anything before it. Achronim suggests this as well, not only my suggestion, Karen Ora, Ravelvel, in different contexts. I'll give you one example. The Rambam paskins about this case of Avim, which is a suffix, that b'dieved, the korban is good. And he paskins that way about several other sfeikos in Shtei Alechem as well. He asks the following question. He says, I understand, because the Mishnah says, a suffix avoda, you don't want to passel the avoda. But if you're talking about not just an avoda, but a matir, a korban, which is the basis for giving you a heter, like shchita or whatever, in basar, remember shchita? If that's what you're talking about, he says, well then, it's a suffix matir, should be suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. He says, I just don't get it, he doesn't give an answer to it, how a suffix korban shtei alechem would be l'kula. After all, you have no right to bring, there's no matir for the menachos of chitim because you didn't necessarily have a proper shtei alechem before it. So some of the achronim explain. That's exactly the point. The korban ha'omer, I'm just reinforcing it by talking about the psukim and some other factors. The korban ha'omer is a matir. But the korban shtei alechem may look like a matir, but really it's an oser, meaning there's a requirement to get the year of Minch Menachos off on an ambitious footing to bring the Korban Shtei Halacha. And you want it to be Mincha Chadasha, Bikurim. If you preempt it with something else, it won't be Mincha Chadasha. You will have undermined and usurped that category. And therefore, it needs to be first. But it's not a matir. The reason you can't bring the other menachos is only because of the chi of the mitzvah. It's an ambition. It's really a spiritual aspiration. In other words, omer neutralizes a problem. Omer fixes, right, a delinquency, chadash. Shtei alechem represents spiritual ambition. It represents an ideal. And that ideal, in turn, determines the order of things and has impact because you want to achieve that ideal. And therefore, even though they look the same, they're totally different. I'll give you another example. The Minchas Chinuch L'Shitaso says that if there's no Isra of Chadash in Karbanos, there's a debate whether Chadash is also B'chutz La'aretz, as we know. A massive debate. If Chadash is also B'chutz La'aretz, you're not allowed to eat Chadash, even B'chutz La'aretz, before the Korban Ha'omer, or the day of the Korban Ha'omer. But what about Chadash B'chutz La'aretz L'gabe Mincha, meaning after the Korban Ha'omer was brought, you want to bring a Mincha of Chitim, but not from Tzvua and Eretz Yisrael, but from Tzvua and Chutz La'aretz. So the Mitzvah Chinuch says, well, if you assume that there's no Isra Chadash when it comes to Karbanos, Legabe the Shtei Alechem, after the Omer, then the whole din of Korban Shtei Alechem having to be the first Korban Chitim is only from Tzvua of Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz La'aretz. But he has a problem with that because the evidence doesn't fit. And not only that, but Yayin and Shemen can also not be brought before the Korban Shtei Alechem. There's no Isra of Chadash at all on Yayin and Shemen. And Minchas Chinuch has trouble. The best answer would be there is an Isra, because it has to be Mincha Chadasha. It's not a matir of the Chadash of the Mikdash. It's that you need that the Korban Shtei Alechem be the first that it be brought optimally optimally and idealistically and maximally, and therefore has nothing to do with Chadash. Oh, if this is the case, so we can appreciate that the role of Eretz Yisrael in Omer and Shtealachem are totally different as well. I'll give you one other example. The Minchas Chinuch wonders, let's say you want to bring the Korban Shtealachem from Tvua that was grown in a non-Jewish farm in Eretz Yisrael. Would there be a problem of Kinyan Akum, Yesher Ein Kinyan Akum Lafkia, Mikdusha Sa'aretz? Complicated question from many points of view. And he's worried about it. As far as I'm concerned, there might be a difference between the Omer and the Shtealachem, because the Omer is far closer to a Chovas Karka and to a din that is closer to Mitzvah Satlios Ba'aretz than the Korban Shtealachem is. Lekula and Lechumra. And therefore, the Gemara only asked the question about Avim and Shtealachem. It didn't ask the question when it came to the Omer, because it's a whole different calculation. Oh, if this is the case, so we can appreciate, and there'll be other nafgamina as well, maybe the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, you know, could be different. Other issues. Indeed, the connection between Shtealachem and Bikurim might play into this. We're going to finish up in one more minute, but let me just finish with this point, and then I'll wrap up the idea. In the Mishnah and Kalim, we're told there are three manifestations of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Mikula: Omer, Shtealachem, and Bikurim. Famously, we've talked about it this year before, the Gra takes out Bikurim, because he thought that Bikurim was like Petrumos and Maestros and Chala. It was just a typical Mitzvah Satlius Ba'aretz. It's not on this list. It doesn't show anything about the Kedushas Makom. It shows about the Kedushas Afar or Karka of Eretz Yisrael. But in the Rambam, in all the Nuschos of the Mishnayos we have, Bikurim is there. So how could Bikurim be there? It's a really good question the Gra asks. However, Tosa says in Bava Basra, Daf Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Lamed Zayin, and in Bava Basra, has a separate makar to exclude Bikurim from Chutzlaretz. Me'ad Mascha, Lim'ute Chutzlaretz. And one view in Tosas is, that Bava Basra, Daf Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph, is that it's not in the category of Mitzvah Satlius Ba'aretz. There's no Tevel. This is Tosas in Bava Basra, Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph. Tulsa says, one second. The Larash Bani or the Rash Mishans, the Loch Shiva Bikurim Mitzat Liabaretz, the Lodami Litrumo Meister Vachala, Dosum Gufa Peros Michuyov in Bitruma, the Tevel Menu, Basurin Bachila, the Kachashuv in Tliam Baretz, of a Bikurim Ein Chiyuv Tali Beperos, El Baadam, the Enasarin Bachila, of a Pishlo Hifresh Bikurim. It's interesting that the Shtealachem is compared in Parshas Pinchas, it's Chag HaBikurim. And when Tosus wanted to explain that in the Midbar there could have been the Omer, but there couldn't have been Shtealachem, he says, because it's Bikurim. Bikurim, even though it is something that grows in the ground, is more than, it's not a Matir. There's no Iser Tevel. You don't need Eretz Yisrael to be Matir. And that is true of Korban Shtealachem as well. So taking a step back, what really is this all about? It's really about the transition from Yetzias Mitzrayim and Chag HaPesach, physical slavery, being cast off, and the challenge in that context of trying to build a nation to make sure that they don't get too heady and too carried away with their new physical freedom. They haven't yet learned the lesson which will become essential and which is triggered by the Gilui Shechina of Maimed Har Sinai, as well as the content of Matan Torah, that Ein Ben Chorin Elamisha Osek B'Torah B'Mitzvahs. That freedom, that the ability to be creative, that the ability to experience growth requires goals, directives, and boundaries. So at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the focus is on reining in growth and just taking a step back and appreciating the Cheirus itself, but making sure that you don't undermine the next stage. Hence, Chametz, the staple of our diet, is the equivalent of Avodah Zarah, practically. Sor Shabi'isa, the Eitz Hara. The Korban HaOmer is the beginning of that process, and as Chazal note, it's a Seorim is Machal Behema, because Klal Yisrael hadn't reached the sophistication of being a spiritual people yet. Basically, they were contending with and needed to be limited because of it, physical freedom. And consequently, that mincha, as unique as it was, because the beginning of the process that will culminate in Shtei Alechem, it has to have things in common with it to begin the process, but it especially needs to contrast with it in a subtle way to highlight what that transition needs to be. So it, as much as it's unique, which it is, it's still Mishiyarei HaMenachos. And you can eat it, but only after a kmitza, after you give the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, his part. It's a matir. Indeed, it's a matir of Chadash. And it needs to be from Eretz Yisrael in order to be matir Chadash. It's kisavo. You can't bring the Omer and have it accomplish its neutralizing, restricting, or matir purpose, right, unless it comes from Eretz Yisrael, the national headquarters of the Jewish people. But then begins a process through Sfiras HaOmer and understanding the two poles, the Korban Omer and the Korban Shtei Lechem, a subtle process through counting days and counting weeks, where the nation builds itself up towards Matan Torah, and where they understand better Halu Avdei Hashem V'lo Avdei Paro, where they understand the principle of Ein Ben Chorin, Elamish Oseik, B'Torah B'Mitzvos. And that reaches its culmination with the Korban Shtei Alechem, which is a Korban of Chametz, unrestricted growth, because of the framework of Maimed Har Sinai. Creativity is then a benefit. It's Korban Chitim. It doesn't even require a Kemitza. And not only that, but the mitzvah of achila is not midin shiarei hamenachos, what the Rambam kept emphasizing in the context of Omer. In Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Memvav, the Rambam says that you have to eat it. It needs to be eaten, not just the Kohanim should eat it. It's a different mitzvah than shiarei hamenachos. Indeed, some of the Achronim point out that, you know, the Gemara says in Sukkah that lechem apanim and the Korban of Shtei Alechem were distributed to all of the Mishmaros. The Mishnah Lemelech, commenting on this, raises the question, he says, well, why wasn't also Korban Omer distributed to all the Mishmaros? It's also a Korban Tzibur in the same way as Lechem Apanim. It's also a Mincha Shel Tzibur. And indeed, the Tosas Rid in Yoma, Achronim point this out, Lamed Tes, says that the Korban Omer is also distributed to the Mishmaros. But if you look carefully in the Rambam, it's not there. And some of the Achronim explain, because the Korban Omer is the day, I'm explaining this part, but it's not part of the Kedushas Hayom of the holiday. It's not Chovas Hayom of Pesach, I'll add. It's significant that it's on the second day of Pesach, that it kind of integrates a little, but not with the holiday part, but with the process that it kicks off Likrat Shavuos. But Shavuos is a lot of evidence that the Korban Shtei Alechem and the Korbanos that are brought with it integrate into, because that's what the Torah says. It's Mincha Chadasha. There's no shofar, there's no matzah, there's no v'nisem. What the Torah says about it is this is the Korban. And if that's the case, and it's Chitim, and there's no Achila, there's achila. There's achila b'toras the cheftza shel shtei alechem. There's no kmitza. This is a parallel to the Gemara, which says in Psachim, Nasamachesu Beis, that while typically there's an argument when it comes to Yom Tov of whether or not, how do you spend Yom Tov? Kula lachem, kula lachem, chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem, right? There are different strategies. But when it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees there needs to be some expression of lachem. Because Yom Shenitna Batara. And that's really strange. You would think the day of Gilui Shechina would be the day of Kula Hashem. But it isn't. It's the day that allows Klal Yisrael to take their proper role in the physical world as an expression of Avodas Hashem. And therefore, it's the day of Lachem. And it's the day of Achila, not Batoras Shari Mincha, even without a Kometz, because the whole Shtei Lechem is about Mimoshvosechem Taviu. It's the idealism of the Tzibur and doing things in the maximal way, the place of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, in all of its manifestation, it represents a tremendous subtle, but also tremendous advance, progress from the Korban Omer, from the second day of Pesach, from the beginning of Sfiras Omer, until you reach the climax of Chag HaShavuos. And in a way, understanding the Korban Shtei Lechem, and there's much, much more to understand, especially the integration of the Kivsei Atzeres and the Shtei Lechem, but that's not for now. Understanding that makes us appreciate how that really dovetails with the Torah Shebaal Peh's notion of having the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Matan Torah Seinu. But with the maximalist and with the, you know, Eretz Yisrael focus, not the matir, but the oser idea of Korban Shtei Lechem, with all of that, you can really also secure and safeguard the concept of Zman Matan Torah Seinu, so that there is no danger that people will, you know, misconstrue and perceive it narrowly, you know, that the net result will be a decline rather than a motivation or a catalyst to increase, you know, Limud HaTorah Kol Hashana. So I just want to wish everybody a upcoming Chag Matan Torah Seinu Sameach, but also to understand that it's the Chag of Mincha Chadasha and Yom HaBikurim, and that that combination of those three is really such a powerful force. And again, I want to greet, I see some, you know, spouses and parents, and, you know, it's really a pleasure to have you. And, you know, we'll do more of it if it's, you know, you know, we, you know, it's been arenu bis kenenu. I don't mean kenenu in a literal way, but, you know, from the youngest, you know, to the grandparents and the great-grandparents, the greatness of Chag HaShavuos and Maimon Har Sinai was precisely its hakel aspect. The fact that it included, you know, all Klal Yisrael, all ages, all experiences, all professions, that too was part of the remarkable, inimitable, you know, aspect, part of the experience, part of the day. And just to close with this note, but that, you know, the Yom Shel Shlomo explains that the Kabbalah Satorah that took place in Maimon Har Sinai in that day, you know, included the personalities of the people who were there. You know, each person has his own way of thinking, based on his own experiences and his own personality and his own, inclinations. And the idea that, you know, it was Matan Torah, but it was also Kabbalas Torah. And the idea of family members, you know, husbands and wives and parents and children being part of that is really such a critical, indispensable component of the Kabbalas Torah part, which was the intention of the Matan Torah. So to wish everybody a good Yontif, and you know, we'll figure out exactly the schedule, but to pick up a little bit on Chulin afterwards. Thank you. Any questions? I'm happy to stick around a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.